Hey YouTube, so what we're going to talk about today is the Akashic Records. We're kind of going straight in the deep end. This is a concept, it's a real thing, but this is a concept I didn't come across until several years deep in a spiritual journey. I spent the first 3 years of my spiritual journey very unwilling to even use the word spiritual, very unwilling to engage with things like chakras, and much more comfortable talking about science and philosophy. But we're just going to dive straight in the deep end with this one. If you're not super familiar with this concept, let's start by acknowledging the fact that many of the great scientists of the last few hundred years have discovered that time, according to the mathematics, is not fundamental, and that space, according to the mathematics, is not fundamental. So when we engage in this concept, let's understand that. Try and understand that through the lens of the fallibility of our assumptions around reality. Anyway, I'm going to hand over to Teal Swan, and we're going to do a bit of a back and forth. So stick with me, and let's go on the ride together.
The Akashic Records are a symbolic representation that the brain uses to represent the fact that every thought which has ever been thought exists.
Yeah, awesome. So let's start straight away with this. The Akashic Records is just a name. It's just a name that we're giving to something that describes some sort of a giant repository of information. And we think of it as a library because in the history of humanity, we've stored a lot of really good stuff in books, and we've stored a lot of really good books in libraries. So it's referred to as a library of records, but that's simply a metaphorical way of introducing this concept. Really, what Teal is opening up and trying to describe here, very well, I might add, is that if time and space aren't fundamental, and time is something that gets projected onto some kind of an ever-present, timeless reality, then we're not really breaking any rules by having access to information that you wouldn't expect to have if you were just living in the physical dimension. Let's let her continue and we'll see what happens.
The Akashic Record is the collective consciousness. It has been referred to as the mind of God, which, as such, happens to contain the information or the energetic vibration of every thought which has ever been thought in any and all universes that have ever been since the first division of oneness or source. It also contains a bit of future. What I mean by it contains a bit of future is, from where you stand right now, you have paths of probability which extend past your lifetime. The future is always a vibrational match to the present. And so if you change a thought in the present, the future paths change. So what exists in the Akashic Record relative to the future is just probabilities which stem from your current vibration right where you stand in your life at this very moment. When we in human consciousness often think of this storage of thoughts, we associate it with a library because that is what we in our human lifespans see as a collection of information. So often when people visit these nonlinear dimensions, the experience of being there is being pulled into linear understanding. So that which is nonlinear is being formatted in a linear way by the brain when you come back into third dimensional reality. So it's a linear understanding upon re-entry into third dimensional consciousness. And the entire experience is interpreted as sorting through records or images, so an image library of sorts. As some of you may have noticed, you can't get experts in any field to agree. I'm going to do a video on this later, what to do when no one can agree. But I'm going to present to you some information which has never before been said about the Akashic Records, because I'm not one of those who agrees with many of the experts as far as the Akashic Records in the relation to
She's cooking. See what
interdimensionality
happens.
is concerned. Conceptualizing of dimensions is something that the brain is concerned with. It's not something that the spirit is concerned with.
That makes sense.
But for the sake of the brain and explaining Akashic Records, it's behoove of us to go into the understanding of dimensions. As I've said before, dimensions are divided in terms of vibration. They're not a spatial concept. It's our brain, which is meant to deal with space and time, meant to form.
All right, I'm going to interrupt here. Teela said all kinds of things there, but let's just start with vibration. So if you're not very into the woo-woo new age kind of stuff, this is going to be very hard for you to engage with. But to simplify it as best as I can, the reality that we live in at the moment, you know, Earth 2025, is incredibly dense. It's really dense. It's really physical. You know, if you walk out in the street and a truck flattens you, you're going to feel that pretty, pretty clearly. And you're not going to question whether or not reality is physical or not. You're going to be flat. And it's going to be pretty clear to you that that physicality is real. But a lot of the things that get unlocked as you move from third dimensional consciousness to fourth dimensional consciousness are the subtleties of energy, the subtleties of chakras, all of these things that the yogis have spoken about for years, and many spiritual traditions have been able to tap into for a very, very, very long time. You start to see that that stuff is kind of playing out on a more subtle level than the way that you live your everyday life. And so what's being positioned here is essentially that ultimately, deep down, there is no time. There is no time. Ultimately, deep down, there is no space. This is more of a construct. It's more of a, you could call it a game. I understand why people call it the Matrix. It's a particular expression of life, and it's an expression of life that is a lot more dense than other expressions of life. The example that I would encourage you to consider is dreaming. When you're dreaming, you can dream of getting flattened by a truck, but it won't feel the same way. It won't feel the same way, but both the waking state and the dream state are entirely valid and real experiences in consciousness. It's just that one of them in the waking state is in the third dimension, and the dream state, I would say, is much more like the fourth dimension. Or if people have astral experiences, I've not had any astral experiences, and they're essentially in a vivid state of imagination, and they can experience all kinds of things, but it won't have quite the same kick as it would in the third dimension. So what we're tapping into, if we were to access the Akashic records, is we're tapping into these dimensions of consciousness higher than our everyday life. And if you're skeptical and you don't believe in them, well, good luck raising up to the vibration required to receive them. You need to be open and accepting of them before they can come through, because, like, I do think that there is a bit of co-creation going on in reality. If you look at the placebo effect, or if you look at how people speak about manifestation, it does seem like we play a role in the experience that we receive. And sure, people from the outside might look at psychedelic experiences and spiritual experiences and just say, well, this is a whole load of BS because you're just making it up in your own mind. But I think that discredits just how real subjective experience is. And this stuff is not totally subjective. It's not being experienced by everyone on Earth, but I find it compelling to consider that maybe it is being experienced by the bulk of the universe. We just happen to be in a particular section, I'm engaging in space, of the universe that is not really tapped into these higher dimensions of consciousness. Anyway, let's go back to Teal, and we'll see what happens.
Matt, wave function to space and time that is really telling us that their dimensions are existing anywhere other than in the now. In reality, all dimensions exist on top of one another in the same space. They're just different vibrations overlapped one on the other.
So okay. So if reality is made of consciousness, then everything that appears physical is actually consciousness. You could say everything that appears in reality is imagination. It's just that the imagination of Earth is pretty strong. The rules are pretty established. Everyone has forgotten or is totally closed off to the idea that it is just a dream that we're constructing together. And so, like, just think of it. Like, we've had nuclear war available for a long time, and we haven't blown up the world yet. That's kind of incredible. And I think it's more likely that we haven't blown each other up yet because reality is more like a co-constructed dream than just luck. Like, reality is so unstable, and yet it keeps going. You know, it looks like a physical Earth and a physical universe, but what if that's just a symbolic representation of something that's more like a co-constructed dream? And so, you know, we wouldn't have been aware of the globe, the round shape of the Earth, for most of our development. We would have assumed the Earth was flat. And for the purposes of us living that dream, that's all that was necessary. We didn't need anything else other than that. All right, I'd like to switch topics now. Give me one moment.
Everybody in Flatland is, of course, exceptionally flat. We have squares, circles, triangles, and they all scurry about. And
so here's Carl Sagan talking about Flatland.
You are
two-dimensional reality.
Now, we have width and length, but no height at all. These little cutouts have some little height, but let's ignore that. Let's imagine that these are absolutely flat. That being the case, we know, us Flatlanders, about left-right, and we know about forward-back, but we have never heard of up-down. Let us imagine that into Flatland, hovering above it, comes a strange three-dimensional creature which, oddly enough, looks like an apple. And the three-dimensional creature sees an attractive, congenial-looking square, watches it enter its house, and decides in a gesture of interdimensional amity to say hello. Hello, says the three-dimensional creature. How are you? I am a visitor from the third dimension. Well, the poor square looks around his closed house, sees no one there, and what's more, has witnessed a greeting coming from his insides, a voice from within. He surely is getting a little worried about his sanity. The three-dimensional creature is unhappy about being considered a psychological aberration, and so he descends to actually enter Flatland. Now, a three-dimensional creature exists in Flatland only partially. Only a plane, a cross-section through him can be seen. So when the three-dimensional creature first reaches Flatland, it's only the points of contact which can be seen. And we'll represent that by stamping the apple in this ink pad and placing that image in Flatland.
See, let's stop.
And
so the main takeaway from this clip from Carl Sagan from the show Cosmos is that it's very difficult to perceive. It's very difficult to perceive dimensions higher than your own. It's just a theoretical example, but the existence of three-dimensional reality would make no sense if you were living in the second dimension. Now, Carl is talking about dimensions of space, and often when we're talking about fourth-dimensional or fifth-dimensional consciousness, we're not really talking about dimensions of space. We're talking about higher aspects of truth, you could say higher vibrational frequencies. But all that I need you to take away from this video is it's okay if it doesn't make sense. It's okay if it sounds ridiculous, because it's beyond the frontier of what you were born into and what you thought you were capable of engaging with. But there's nothing in principle that stops a third dimensional entity in the physical space from interacting with it. Second-dimensional entity. It would just be strange and odd and not make a lot of sense to the 2D entities. So as we're navigating these topics and exploring fourth-dimensional consciousness and fifth-dimensional consciousness, it's no wonder that people are skeptical and that people believe that it's not true and are confident that it's not true. Because if you lived in a two-dimensional reality and you tried to study the existence of the third dimension, good luck. All you can study is strange behavior that you don't understand, that doesn't adhere to your rules. And we might see this happening in our life, and we just think that it's a mind manifest, or we think that it's a coincidence, or we think that it's something that we will later come to understand in a different way. But it could just as easily be some sort of a fragment of a higher dimension coming through and engaging with us. Great. So you've probably seen an image like this before at some stage. And what I would like to share about this image is a little bit more information about where it came from. Yogis and Eastern practitioners of all kinds, and for all I know, other spiritual traditions, I'm ignorant of everything that's ever happened on Earth. They've been aware of energetic reality, and many of them have directly studied chakras. And these seven that we're familiar with in the West are not actually separate chakras, but they're more like highway interchange points. They're sort of key areas of energetic function. And there is some correlation between the physical biological system and these zones. So it's not purely energetic. It's something right on the boundary of physical and non-physical. But I would say it's mostly non-physical. And what I wanted to share, though, is this color system that we use, this wasn't created thousands of years ago. This was created, I believe, by Westerners in the last 200 years. I actually record these videos in a Krishnamurti learning center. I have studied the works of Jiddu Krishnamurti. He's pretty cool. He's pretty cool because he's essentially an anti-guru. It's not so much that I am obsessed with this guy. I honestly don't care about him at all as a person. It's cool what he did. He was a teacher. He was an inspiring figure. He was more about love than war. Of course, okay, you can appreciate the person, but it's not so much about that. It's more about a sense of spirituality, and he wouldn't have used that word, that isn't about religion and isn't about organization. And so he was earmarked from a very young age to essentially be some sort of a global prophet and a world teacher. And he was raised by Westerners. He's an Indian guy, and he grew up with his brother, but he was adopted by Annie Besant, who ran the Order of the Star in the East. And for the first 20 or so years of his life, he just sort of went along with what he was being taught and told. And the famous story of his claim to fame is that he popped up, and on the day that he was announced to be the world leader, he renounced his power. And he said, I don't believe in spiritual organizations. Truth is a pathless land. And he sold all of the land that he had access to, because he owned the society, and he divested and he shut down the organization. And for the rest of his life, there are no official organizations for Jiddu Krishnamurti. The one that I'm a part of is a volunteer organization that a man I know personally created, just out of the just because he wanted to create it and bring it into the world. So the chakra system that we're using at the moment in the West was created by these theosophists. And the term Akashic Records is a name given to this concept of higher dimensional knowledge by these Westerners. And it's not to say that therefore this stuff isn't real. It's just about understanding that we're viewing it through these people's teachings. So there's nothing inherent about the chakras that makes them red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and then another shade of purple. There's nothing inherent. That's just a system that we've created. And I think it can frustrate people and make people think that this is all BS, because there's not one answer. But I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think that, or maybe it's more simple than that. I think it's just that the universe is going to work through whatever it needs to work through. If you are Islamic, then the divine is going to express itself to you through your religion. If you are Jewish, the divine is going to express itself to you through your religion. If you're Christian, you're going to have the divine expressed to you through Jesus Christ. And obviously, I don't know everything. I only know a fraction of information about global history and about theology. I really know nothing. All I'm trying to express is that whatever you believe, however you're approaching something bigger than yourself, I think the universe is going to step in and work with you and help you and even help you continue this process of imagination. But it doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not real. It's more like part of it is you and part of it is the universe. And when it's just you, you're delusional. And there's some of that out there. And when it's you and the universe, well, it's not as delusional. It's not as delusional. And I think some teachers, I'm not going to say that this Krishnamurti guy is better than anyone else, but there are certainly some people out there who try and really get rid of as much as they can of the human layer and the human conditioning. Something like Zen is interesting. They barely tell you what's going on. Buddhism, similar. They barely talk about the high-level concepts or, you know, what enlightenment really is and how it might look. They don't really focus on that. There's a method, there's a practice, and they just push you in that direction. And even then, the truth is being filtered through that teaching and that tradition. But, that's fine. That's fine. We've all got to come at these things somehow through our earthly realm and our earthly lives. And for me, the reason I'm so open to everything is because I kind of understand that we're the one consciousness. I understand that ultimately I seem to be something like a pure consciousness behind, but also one with all experience. And I don't have any memories pre-birth. I only remember being born, and I barely remember that. But I understand that most of what I'm working with is stuff that I inherited from my biology. Some of what I'm working with is stuff that's come because of nurture and society and the world around me. And these days, I'm open to the idea that some of what I'm working with is more soul level, something beyond just this particular incarnation. I don't know. I'm open to it. I think it's plausible at the very least. And I think it's a cool thing to pursue because I think it makes you live a better life. There are all kinds of reasons for religion. Not everyone who's religious is a saint and has direct experiences of these higher truths. Most religious people are operating on faith and they're comfortable and committed to a particular tradition and a particular culture. And even if they don't have direct experiences of the things that are being shared with them, they trust with, they trust that it's real. And to some extent, all of it's real, but not to the same extent and not in the same way. It's sort of everything is true, but also there's a bit more complexity than just everything is true. It's not that everything is true. Everything is kind of true. Everything's sort of true. But, if I had a mission for this lifetime, I want to get to the bottom of what is really true and what isn't quite so true. And the things that I personally have continued to engage with, I've felt connected to. There are things that I've picked up for a short time and thrown away. There aren't many of them, though. I try and see the value in everything I explore. You know, I've heard it said that you shouldn't dabble. You shouldn't try a bunch of different things on a spiritual path. You should find one and stick to one. Well, you know what? That doesn't work for me. I don't like the idea of locking myself into something. I want to be free to roam and explore and abandon things as I see fit because I want to hold on to this skeptical truth-seeking thing. And, the truth seeker, sure, it's the ego. Come at me. Yeah, okay, I've still got an ego that wants to learn things or is interested in knowledge. All right, but are you enlightened person telling me that I have a bit of an ego? No, you're not enlightened either. So just stay out of it with those kinds of comments, non-compromising, non-duality crew. I've had a lot of different influences and they continue to influence me in different ways all the time. And ultimately, I don't know what's going on, but also I kind of do know that there's something going on and I want to connect with as many people as I can who are sort of bound by this unity consciousness concept. Who cares? Maybe it's a concept. I don't care. Is it helping the world? Yes. Might it be true? Yes. Isn't that enough? So we've skirted around a lot of topics here. Maybe the Akashic records exist. Maybe chakras exist. Maybe they don't. You can see I'm not offended if you don't believe in this stuff. I don't care. It doesn't change my experience. And boy, wouldn't the world be a nice place if we weren't offended if someone didn't have the same view about your country or your religion? And we were just like, okay, look, I don't demand that you see things my way. I just, so long as you're peaceful and operating from this sense of love, for me, love is the absence of separation. So, if you're operating from the sense that you're not separate from someone else and they're having a human experience just like you or animals are having an experience just like you, whatever it is, if you've got something like that going on, great. And I think the more that we open up to these higher dimensions of consciousness, the more that you have something like that going on. Because if time and space aren't fundamental, if time and space aren't fundamental and self isn't fundamental, and your identity isn't what you think it is, and ultimately we are the one consciousness, well then start working together, damn it. Now, there's a lot of shit going on and I'm sick of it. So that's me for this video. I'm probably going to chop this up into shorts. And if you watch the whole thing on YouTube, well, welcome to the ride, because if you like this, there's a lot more to come. Have a nice day, guys.